السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه وهواها وتمنى على الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Peace and salutations be upon our Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without a shadow of doubt, if we have to look into our lives and we have to look at the ummah at large, then definitely we go through many different challenges throughout our lives, and we can see the ummah at large is going through many challenges as well. But as an ummah, we always look at the positive side of things, and the positive that we take from our life in general is this: that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, Allah ta'ala through His kindness, Allah ta'ala through His infinite generosity, has blessed us with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And any person who holds firm onto the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, at times there may be a few bumps in the road, but holding firm unto the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will most certainly ensure that we reach our destination. And our destination and our ultimate destination is Akhirah. We've come into this world, we'll be here for a short time. How long we will live, that only is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one thing for sure, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, he said, Al-Kayyis. And really, when we look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as explained so beautifully, Jawami'ul Kalim. Few words, voluminous in its meaning. Profound. Look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sums up everything for us. He said, Al-Kayyis. An intelligent person is that person, Dana Nafsahu, suppresses his own desires, وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and he prepares for what is to come after death. And a foolish person is that person who does as he pleases, he, whatever his heart desires, whatever his soul and nafs desires, he just follows it, and then he says, no, I'll place my hopes and desires in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to us that intelligence demands that we prepare for what is to come after death. There's four aspects we're going to speak about today in our own life. If we prepare in this manner, there's many things, but we abstract four things from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram. And if we try and bring these four things in our life and in the life of society and community, then it will help us and assist us to sail through this journey, and we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with afia. Because that's the only thing in the entire world that everybody is unanimous about, that everyone is definitely going to die. And one day we have to taste death, that's a reality. And sometimes we have to speak about this reality, because in our fast-paced, fast-moving world, where everything happens so quickly, we tend to forget that actually we're here today and we don't know what's our result going to be tomorrow. You know what is the actual reality? The actual reality of life is this, that the moment our eyes close, The moment our eyes close, all identity is lost. Everything. That's the sad reality. I may be Mr. So-and-so. I may have this title and that title. I may be known as this, that and the other. Everybody knows me. But the moment the eyes close, and if you heard, let's say for example, Sulaiman passed away, so you're phoning somebody to ask, you won't even say his name. You say, where's the body? What time is the body going to be at the house? What time will the body be at the janaza place? So the moment our eyes closes, even our identity is stripped of us. So that is the reality of life. That is the reality. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. But nevertheless, as I said, as a Muslim, we take things from a positive way, and positivity breeds positivity. If you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one beautiful aspect is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire life's mission was to connect the creation to the Creator. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his connection and his relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the strongest. And he would mention this often. He said, if I had to take a friend, from this we understand, he said, لَوْكُنْتُ if I had to take a friend, خَلِيلًا غَيْرَ رَبِّي, if I had to take a friend other than my Rabb, then I would have taken Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to be my friend. What that means simply is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was expounding, and he was showing us his close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every person, every creation of Allah has a special link and a special bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we are the creation of Allah. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just a means of us igniting that connection. And this was Rasulullah's mission. When people would come to him, immediately he would turn their attention from dunya to akhirah. He would turn their attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person would come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell Nabi of Allah, when is Qiyamah? What answer would he give? He would say that ma a'adatta laha. Qiyamah is inevitable, it's going to come. What have you prepared for it? What's the hikmah behind this? The hikmah behind this is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inevitably is saying, listen, the day is to come, you have to meet with Allah. You have to meet with your Creator. Prepare for it by developing a firm and strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has put us in this world with a purpose, and that is our purpose. Beautiful incident from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was some difficulty in the home. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, was it Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and put a request to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Things are difficult, things are tight. So Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha comes to the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when she comes to the home of her father, what does she do? فَدَقَّ الْبَابِ. She knocks on the door. Now look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's relationship with his daughter. Look at the presence of heart and mind. So he's in the company of Ummu Ayman. Ummu Ayman was a very special woman in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was of Abyssinian descent, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often refer to her in this manner. He would say, Ummi, she is my mother. Because she was in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from a very young age. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 6 years of age, and his beloved mother, Amina radiallahu ta'ala, passed away, then it was Ummu Ayman who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were at a place called Abwa. And she assisted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the burial, with the dafan, with the kafan of the mother of Rasulullah. So she played a very pivotal role, a very important role in his life. So she was present. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that inna hadha la daqqu Fatima. Ummu Ayman, that knock on the door, that is the knock of my daughter Fatima. And he went one further. He said that she's come at a time that she doesn't usually come. For Fatima to come at this time, it's not normal. But the greatest home was the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of teaching was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us the tawfiq to nurture ourselves and nurture our families on the same teaching. Look at her approach to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When there's a connection with Allah and we're seeing Allah in everything, it will manifest in our character and it will manifest in our akhlaq as well. She comes into the home of her father to address her father with regards to the need in her home. She enters the home and she presents her need to Rasulullah ﷺ in this way. Who is she? Sayyidatul Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, Queen of Jannah. But look at akhlaq. She says, oh my beloved father, هذا التحميد والتهليل والتسبيح هذا طعام الملائكة فماذا طعامنا. She never came and said, doesn't Ali know who I am? Can't he provide? There's not enough, no. She said, oh my beloved father, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. This is food of the angels. When they say it, it feeds their belly. But what will we eat? What will we eat? Allahu Akbar. Look at the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't become angry. Doesn't become upset. He doesn't say that, doesn't my son-in-law know how he should provide? Doesn't, you know. He says to her, oh my beloved daughter, 2 months have passed and the fire hasn't been lit in the home of your father. I share your pain. 2 months have passed. You haven't eaten. 2 months have passed and the fire hasn't been lit in the home of your father. If you want and you desire, the king of Fidak has given me some goats. I give you these goats. Take it and feed your family. But better for you, he said, Nabi Sassam's mission was to connect himself and connect the creation to the creator. Closest of the close. How close was Fatima radiallahu ta'ala? What did he say? Regarding her, he said, Fatima bid'atum minni. Fatima is a part of me. She's part of my body. She's part of me. She said, that's how close and that's how much of love. But what did he say? He said, Fatima, if you want, 5 goats, take it and feed your family. But better than that, I teach you 5 kalimat. Say these words, make dua to Allah. Put your need in front of Allah. Ask your need from Allah. And Allah will fulfill your need. He teaches his daughter, Ya awwal al-awwaleen, wa ya akhir al-akhirin, ya rahim al-masakin, ya dhal quwwati al-mateen, wa ya arham al-rahimin. He teaches his daughter these 5 kalimat, that you make dua using these words, O Fatima, and Allah will fulfill your need. She comes home, elated, static, happy. Ali says that, I've never seen you so happy. She says, oh my beloved husband, I went to fulfill my needs of dunya. I came back fulfilling my needs of akhirah. But the point is this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her that Fatima, connect to Allah. Take your need and put your need before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because ultimately it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will fulfill all needs. So this was the mission of nubuwwat. And being the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala has made it that this responsibility is on our shoulders, on the shoulder of every ummati. How I can connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How I can live my life recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How the love of Allah can be filled and brimming in my heart. And how that can manifest to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like that sahabi said so beautifully when he was standing in the court of Rustam, جِئْنَا لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. That he explained in a few words the purpose and the goal and the life of a Muslim. What is the objective of a life of a Muslim? And today the ummah at large, this is what we have forgotten, that we have to remind ourselves once again who we are. What is our identity? Our identity is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We have an identity. And our identity manifests in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said that we are a nation, we've been sent with the purpose, لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ, to take mankind out of the servitude of mankind and to put mankind into the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understanding who we are the abd, we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose of our creation. And how to get to this is to put ourselves and to create within society the environment that was in the environment of Masjid al-Nabawi. The environment where there was dawah, inviting towards Allah, learning and teaching. ibadat, khidmat, tazkiyah, the purification of our souls, learning and teaching of deen, the halakat of dhikr, learning, teaching, all these different aspects, khidmat, service. When these things become prevalent and alive in society once again, then we find that society at large becomes a better society, and a society of goodness, profound goodness. In the era of Medina Munawwara, there was a tribe of the Banu Hanif tribe. The leader was of the Banu Salim and the Banu Hanif, person by the name of Thumama bin Uthal. Famous narration, maybe we heard it before. But a beautiful lesson to be taken of how a society ought to function. And when a society functions like that, the far-reaching results. This person leaves with the sole intention. He says to his people, I only heard about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I only heard about him. And hearing about him is enough for me. I want to be the one to assassinate him. I want to be the one, at my hands, the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come. So he leaves with this niyyah and this intention to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. En route, alhamdulillah, at that time, Allah made it, the Muslims captured him. And when they captured him, they didn't know who he was. They didn't know he's a leader, he's a person of great standing. Long and short, it's a long narration, I'm just cutting it short a bit. So they bring him and they tie him to a pillar in Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tie him to the pillar, and then they inform Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say to the Nabi of Allah that a person has been captured. Anyway, they didn't know who he was. They thought he's an ordinary person. Anyway, they bring him and he's tied to a pillar in Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to visit him. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees who it is, he recognizes him. And then this person says to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or rather Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him first, that Thumama, 3 days you'll be here. Think about your matter and we can take it from there. But he gives a very serious response to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that listen, I'm here, you put me here, you know who I am. In taqtul taqtul za damin wa in tun'im tun'im ala shakir. He says to him that listen, if you wish to kill me and you wish to take my blood, then you should know, and your people also should know this, ذَا دَمِن, my blood is not cheap. Meaning I'm a person of status. There will be consequences. So meaning this is an open threat. Now, if you threaten somebody in their own space, you can imagine what's the end result. But nubuwat was something else. Akhlaq of Rasulullah SAW was something else. So it's an open threat to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Taqtul taqtul zadamin. Remember, if you're going to kill me, get over and do the job. But remember, my blood is not cheap. There'll be consequences. Wa in tun'im tun'im ala shakir. But at the same time, if you choose to forgive me and overlook, then the reward will be great as well. We won't, this, it won't be something cheap. It won't be overlooked just like that. We'll reward you handsomely. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to Sahaba, look after him, treat him properly, treat him in a good way. Remember, he left his place with the sole intention of assassinating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that as long as he's in Masjidun Nabawi, he'll be my guest. So the food that he was to eat was prepared in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, second day comes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks him again, Thumama, have you thought about your matter? He gives the same response. Taqtul taqtul zadamin, tunim tunim ala shakir. If you want to kill me, get over and done with it. Do it. Do the job already. Second day again, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends food for him from the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third day, same thing happens. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam questions him again. Have you thought about the matter? He said, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in my heart and my mind. If you want to kill me, kill me. Get over and do the job. But remember, there'll be consequences. But if you choose to forgive me and overlook, then it won't be something that will go unnoticed. We would handsomely reward you. That is in essence what he was saying. Nabi Sassam comes after 3 days, he looks at him, and he says to the Sahaba Ikram, open him and release him. Bring his conveyance and allow him to go. Who was this? This was a man who set out with the sole intention of assassinating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's many incidents like this. So they allow him to go, they bring his conveyance. He gets on his conveyance. He rides a few steps or whatever the distance was out of Medina, takes ghusl, and he comes back to the masjid. Nobody forced him, nobody put a gun to his head, nobody. And he addresses the congregation and he addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, before I came here and spent time in your masjid, before I came here and was tied to the pillar, then the most hated name for me was your name. The most hated face was your face. The most hated city was your city. But today, the most beloved name is your name. The most beloved city is your city. And the most beloved place is your place. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. And he recites the shahada. He was affected, why? By what? By the environment of Masjid al-Nabawi. By the a'mal that he saw, by the actions that he saw, by the character of the people. The goodness that was permeating from Masjid al-Nabawi. The goodness that was bursting from Madinah Munawwara had a sound effect on the heart of Thumama. And what does he do? He takes permission. He says, I was on my way to make Umrah. Give me permission to go. And he holds this. He came to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assassinate him. He leaves as a Muslim. And the books of the Muarikhin, the historians tell us that he was the first person when he entered Makkah Mukarramah. He's a big person, obviously, to say the Labbaik, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, and he enters Makkah Mukarramah. Nevertheless, that was the point. He said there's three important points. The one was we said we connect to Allah. The second was to create a good environment. And the third is to instill hope within the heart of every person. That no person should be deprived of hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in his gathering. So he realizes that there's a certain person who's missing. So he asked the people, he said, listen, I don't see. So somebody made a statement and they said, no, don't ask about him. Don't ask about him, he's taken to the bottle. He's off the Qibla, he's off the track. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala stopped him. He said, listen, stop. Just think nicely what you're saying. This is not how we handle our affairs. This is not how we've been taught to handle our affairs. Rather, every one of you, turn your heart to Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua for him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must change his heart. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this narration you'll find in Ibn Kathir. Umar radiallahu anhu calls his scribe. He says, I'm going to write a letter. I'm going to dictate to you, and I want you to take this nasiha and this advice and see to it that it reaches this person. He begins by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he starts dictating. Surah Hamim says, the opening verses, تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز العليم غافر الذنب مقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. He wrote this on the letter and he said, give this to this person here, this person who I asked about, and the response that you'll receive from that I received from him, go and give it to him. And he said to his scribe that it should be given to him directly. Nobody should intercept it, nobody should read what's written for him. This is advice for him. Anyway, long and short of it, this man receives it. He gets it, he gets the advice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he starts to read the advices. And when he reads these advices, his heart begins to soften. He makes tawbah from the life that he was living, and he changes his life, and he becomes a person who lives away, who lives his life in a way very pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after some time, this information reached Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he addressed the congregation again. And he said to them that, see, this is how we have been taught to conduct our affairs. If you happen to see a brother of yours, zalla zallatan, who happened to slip and who happened to go off the path, fathabbituhu wa wathiqu, then what you do? You help him. You put your hand around him. You comfort him. You give him some nasiha. You give him some advice. You bring him close. And then he said these beautiful words, وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَعْوَانًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ لَهُ. Never become the friend of shaitan against your brother. How? By making him despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No Muslim should ever become despondent of the mercy of Allah. Every Muslim should be given hope. These are three beautiful things from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if we can connect ourselves and connect the creation to Allah, if we can create the good environment that was the environment of Medina, the environment of Masjid al-Nabawi, and we can instill hope of the mercy of Allah, and encourage every person who we meet, ourselves and everybody, to connect and become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll find that this would be a means of a better society. So it'd be a means of a better place. Everything would then fall into place. And as I said in the beginning of my talk, this would give us the assistance and the guidance that we need to sail through these rocky roads and to reach our destination with ease and afia. We are very, very fortunate in our in the town of Durban. Next week will be the ijtima that will be taking place. How we can make such an effort that maximum people at this purpose, that how complete deen can come alive, how these beautiful qualities of Rasulullah and Sahaba can come alive within the people. And the need of the hour is for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again to come onto collective tawbah. What collective tawbah means is that we understand who we are. We understand what is our responsibilities as being the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah you are very fortunate, the people of Durban, you will be the host. People will be coming. Allah is giving you the opportunity to make amal on the sunnah of the Ansar of Medina Munawwara. Allah Ta'ala loved the khidmat and Allah Ta'ala loved the services of the Ansar so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Kareem praises the Ansar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when the guests came, how they would go out of their way, the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, they would go out of their way to assist the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah next week, Friday, the ijtima will be starting at Jumu'ah. Encourage one and all inshallah to attend the ijtima, full 48-hour ijtima. We try and take part in the amal and whatever services. I'm sure this masjid and this area would have some responsibilities. You can contact your local brothers. In whichever way we can get involved. Make dua for the success of the ijtima. What is the success of the ijtima mean? That deen comes alive. And the objective is 100% deen to come alive. If deen comes alive, then the goodness of that spreads to the entire society. Everybody benefits from it. Not only the Muslims. The entire society benefits when deen comes alive. Imagine if we can have a society where we have complete deen alive. 100% musalli rate. People are seeing to the needs of one another. People are all the care that we can give to society. When we live like that, and then we would resemble Medina Munawwara. That is the objective of the ijtima and all the different deeni gatherings that take place, and how complete deen can come alive. So inshallah, we all make niyyah to attend the ijtima inshallah, and also to encourage others. And whoever we meet, whatever assistance we can give, whatever work is needed, we try and be there in the forefront. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give good conditions. Allah ta'ala make it that this ijtima, every ijtima in the world, wherever it is that is taking place, Allah make it a means of deen coming alive. And most importantly, Allah bless every one of us, our families, our progeny with debt on iman. Really, we can see hard and fast the different tests, trials, tribulations that are coming through. Whether it be through social media, whether it be through internet, or whatever the case may be. But every day there's a new challenge. If we don't connect to deen, we don't connect to the masjid, we don't connect to the ulama, we don't connect to the amal of the masjid, then there'll be no protection for us. Our protection lies only in deen. This is a good opportunity for us, for the community, inshallah. Once again, we humbly request all the brothers to attend the ijtima, give dawah to the ijtima as well. And wherever we can help and assist in whatever department we have, we try and volunteer and put ourselves forward, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.